Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and welcome to the members section of the Cosmic Switchboard Show. My very special guest, Nishka from the Cosmic Salon, is with us. We had a very interesting first segment, and we're just getting started in the second segment. Nishka, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you, James. It's a pleasure to be here. And I love these behind the curtain sections the most, because this is where we can really unpack some deep stuff.
Yes, and what we're seeing now, Nishka, is this Babylonian Talmudic goes all the way back to the Orion Wars and beyond, how it's kind of unraveled in front of us, where we're seeing all aspects of this Babylonian system rise up. And, you know, we're having a merger of the old with the new. The old that's been there all along, the acceptance, the promotion of things arcane, of things ceremonial, magic-like, if you will.
Yes.
I'd like your thoughts on that, because for a long time, the Hollywood Babylon has been up front and center and pushing this stuff. We know how evil and sick that these Hollywood types are, but now... And when you look at the interlink between social media, AI, and this whole movement of normalizing all these horrific things, pedophilia, ceremonial magic in its worst forms, I'd like your thoughts about that.
Well, I think I want to start with, and sorry, there seems to be a truck behind me. I want to start with what's going on with this movie, Greenland. And there was a lot of hoopla put out about it, and the commercials, the trailers are very provocative. And this whole idea that James, I can't think of his, Gerard, I can't think of his last name.
Butler. The main,
yes, thank you. He put his own money into this. There's a lot of information being put forward that this was a very important film, theater, theatrical production. And then also now you find that it's been banned in the USA because that it is too close, and they don't want to scare the masses, because we've been having all this anomalous stuff come down from the sky, and that's right out of Revelations for Bible people, Revelations 8. And also I think what ties right into all that, but it ties into other narratives. Anyway, so we know nothing is unintentional. That's intentional, that they've created that narrative around this particular film, that they spent all this money and that it's banned, and now there may be a contract with Amazon or whatever. The thing is, and like we were saying earlier, the idea being seeded in. Now, this is ritual theater. What we're observing outside of us in general is ritual theater, if we pull into that idea. So with this narrative, there's something that hits the earth and creates this doomsday scenario. And I haven't seen the film. I've only seen the trailer. And of course, like everyone else, I'm now really curious to see it, because they created the desire by creating the tulpa of it to seep in and entice us into wanting it. And this is how you stake out prey. This is how bear hunters do it. They feed, or deer hunters too. They get up in the wood, and they do this for weeks. They put food in a certain place. They put it in a certain place until they get used to coming to that place and feeding. And then one day, they get them. And this is how the lion stalks its prey as well. The watering holes, the gazelles are coming at this time every day. Every day they're here. And then it one day pounces. This we need to, what the wise will look at everything around them right now under these type of circumstances, that there's a prey predator energy all around us at this moment. There always was, but this is now some sort of larger calling. And with these ritualistic things that are going on, we're seeing, so we were talking about earlier with chum in the water, there's with ritualizing and ceremonial ritual work, including, and not to be understated, within the Abrahamic religions, I am the blood, drink of me. This is my body, eat of me. It's everywhere. And the idea is blood in, blood out. And so if we start to look at the outer world under this guise, and then look at how we're being plugged in via the idea fountain, the creator of magic fountain, via these big industry organizations such as the Hollywood Wheel, we're getting a better idea of how this is moving forward. If you look at everything as ritual theater outside of yourself, and you start to understand the components of ritual theater, there's always a procession. There's always a procession. Processions are a very big deal. And then you get to the gate, and the gate, and there can be many gates. Oftentimes they're in very succinct numbers: 3 gates, 6 gates, 9 gates, etc. And each gate you lose something, or you have to give up something until you come to the final gate nude. Now remember, we're looking at this. This can be in a literal ritual, yes. But what we're doing is there's a symbiosis when we start seeing it in the outer world, where we participate without realizing it by observing it. Observing is a verb. We're observing, and that pushes you into the role of being by the act of projection onto different characters in the theater. So you get to the final gate, blood in, right? By your own actions, by every turn you made, by the right turn here, by the left turn here, to this final gate, and you come to the Tyler, you come to the gatekeeper, and the gatekeeper is usually someone not to mess with. So it can be a seraphic type being that is scary. It can be a pleasing, fanciful fae type being, or, you know, someone with a pleasant voice that's saying, what brings you to this gate? It can be whatever that particular individual needs for that particular application. And so some people react to fear. Some people react to kindness. Some people react to not being noticed. This is tailor-made. This is all digitally tailor-made through the sentience of AI now. And so you get to the gate, and there's always something, the final gate. You're nude before the gate. And there's always something now that is very dire. You want in because you've participated now. You want to see what's on the other side. You've been lulled in. And this is where the net comes down. So everyone enters the sacred circle as a role player in it. Some of the people are participants in this and helped guide the sacrifice into it. Some of the people were auxiliary functions that were part of creating a larger overlay that looks completely anomalous, until you get to the gate and you see how all the cogs have come together to make this wheel turn. And then there's always the king for the day, the person that was making all the right decisions, all the right choices, taking off exactly what needed to be taken off, letting go at each gate what needed to be let go of, and then they're brought in. And it's at this point where a lot of people don't realize, and we're talking about activation, you may not consciously think you're part of it, but at any point, you can be activated. Anyone can be activated. So it's hard sometimes to tell who is the hunter and who is the hunted, and that's part of the sport here. So you get in, and this is when the roles are revealed. This is now the main event. And at this point, the sacrifice, the sacred sacrifice, that whose body shall be eaten, that whose blood shall be drank, etc., assumes their part. And this is what we see in nature when there's a calm before the snake strikes the mouse. They have a deal. There's at that point when it comes down to the final draw, everything syncs up, synchronicity happens, and there's a big wave. This is that big event. This is that event horizon. This is that big bang. And then from there, everything changes into what it was going to be. The sigilistic aspect happens, and the blood out aspect is how this furthers out on the other end, the closing. So like a virus, once it, or not even a virus, like a Trojan horse, once it's entered into the system, then it can release its payload. And so part of the payload is in proliferating the process. So the blood out is the closing of it, that which has been consumed, the sacrifice by those who are participating, have now become what they have eaten. You are what you eat. And this is a deep, deep thought. This is very deep because it perpetuates the cycle, and out into the world they go. So with a sickness in the body, out into the world it goes once it's gotten in via whatever mechanism. And so this is happening. And when I pull back to the idea of Greenland, there are, we could parse this out with all the media around us, with all the films, but right now at hand is this idea of this film Greenland, and that something is coming from the sky, it's going to hit the earth, and there's going to be a lot of devastation. And we're in a procession right now, moving through the gates to get to that information we're seeking. And that is what I'm trying to get at with answering this question. We don't know our role here, James, until we're activated. And by activation, this is all digital, electrical, AI.
Yes, absolutely, because it works at many levels. For example, we talked about the Hollywood Babylon aspect and how that act of acquiescence, of submission, conscious or otherwise, leads people through these initiatory processes to the point where at some point they, by acquiescing, by going along, by kneeling down, by wearing the mask, whatever symbolic gesture, even buying into some of these narratives pushed by the mainstream media, it becomes at some level, some kind of an agreement has been made. And we see this all the time now. And what's interesting also is the digital overlay, because before it was Hollywood Babylon, but now it's seamlessly merged with the malign influence of the so-called tech giants, and their influence is so pervasive now, like Google, of all things, their browser is called Chrome, their software that powers a lot of their systems is called Adreno, right? So right under our noses, they're calling their system Adrenochrome.
Yes.
you have Amazon, which has been banning books left, right, and center and pushing certain narratives. So gradually, incrementally, consciously and subconsciously, we've been manipulated into becoming the prey in this predator-prey dynamic. Now, what I've noticed also, Nishka, too, and this ties into this, people don't know the ultimate source of this problem. If some of them fancy themselves to be very astute researchers and investigators, they may have gotten to the point where, okay, the so-called elite, they're in the blood drinking, they're in the human sacrifice, they're in the guzzling adrenochrome at the expense of all these children, et cetera, et cetera. They get to that point, but it's like they've reached the ceiling. They'll accept the notion that they're into these pagan so-called blood ceremonies and forms of worship, but they don't realize, and this is a form of brainwashing too, they don't realize that at the very least these so-called elite and all their hybrid minions everywhere are worshiping something other than human. It's like their minds balk or stop at this notion that humans could possibly be at a point other than the top of the food chain, which is a recent development, Nishka, because throughout history, there was an understanding not only in First Nation societies, so-called traditional societies, but, well, mostly up until, I would say, and the twin influences, malign influences of the Inquisitions, the witch hunts on the one hand, but also what has been described as the Enlightenment, the scientific Enlightenment and the Renaissance on the other, the subterfuge of that, where people have been detuned from the fact that there are these non-human beings, whole societies of them, that malignly, for its own sadistic pleasure, manipulate and do harm to humans individually and across the board as a civilization. We're at a point now where there are countless people out there who've been detuned from that very basic fact, which was common knowledge to the youngest child in traditional societies, common knowledge to people in ancient times, that these gods with a little g had such a malign influence on people. So what we nowadays, it's a knee-jerk programmed reaction. If someone puts out what I consider to be a legitimate video of some unidentified aerial phenomena, the knee-jerk response, Nishka, oh, that's Project Bluebeam, it's a hologram, it's not real, it's just the military. And it's like these are people that don't know the first thing about alien research studies. So it's like they've reached the ceiling, which prevents them from recognizing the human race at large is, well, this is a big terrarium we're in. It's a closed system. And these non-human beings have set this up as an endless, endless fish farm, an endless recycling process. And where Greenland comes in is, it was understood, again, because of this dumbing down process, it was understood in many cultures that the solar system, not just the planet, but the solar system itself was subject to these celestially driven cyclical catastrophes that would just do a complete reset on the surface of the Earth, oftentimes resulting in a shift in the axis of the planet. And I believe we're at that, on the verge of that again. We're on the cusp of these celestially driven cataclysms again. And what they've done with these movies, like Asteroid, Deep Impact, now Greenland, is they put that in the consciousness, in the subconscious of people, in the guise of fiction. But in a way, it garners acquiescence and submission once again, subconsciously. So whatever means and necessary precautions, if you will, the powers that be have to take is justified in order to save humanity. Even if it means as a prerequisite, locking us down in our homes, making us wear masks, the social distancing, all that stuff. And another thought that ties into this, and I'd like your thoughts on it, Nishka, is years ago when I lived in San Diego, I had occasion to go to the very Illuminati a business district of San Diego County, which is La Jolla. Anyone who's been around that area knows that's where the banks are, where the corporations are. And Science Applications International Corporation, an infamous defense contractor for the intelligence community, they have a large office there. And there was a big pool there, right? And there were three monuments there. And one monument depicted a very large statue of a man in biblical garb, right? You know, the shepherd's staff and the whole biblical attire. And the plaque read, "The Old Man." And then the plaque next, well, the statue next to it was this androgynous, bald-headed man slash woman, also wearing like a cloak kind of outfit and a hoodie, but not wearing the hood. And then the plaque below it read, "The New Man." And that's what we're seeing, this gender confusion, the sexual confusion all around us, which has all the trappings of the whole Baphomet, male-female confusion, and increasingly blurring the lines between adult and child, and making all these things seemingly permissible and normalizing all this stuff, right? So we're seeing this singularity where what used to be a clear delineation between male and female sexes has now been turned into this androgynous he, she, where there are no boundaries. Do what thou wilt is the, you know, is the law, whatever the quote is. It's, if it feels good, do it, right? Because it's all being promoted by the Hollywood Babylon AI overlay with all the supernatural elements piggybacked on top of that. And what it's doing is it's turning the minds of all these people at various levels into accepting and buying into essentially the role of the prey in all this, Nishka. So I just like some of your thoughts on that, because you've already elaborated in some of this, but you have a way with words, so I'll just be silent now.
Thank you, James. There's a lot here. So the debunking aspect, so when we look at how the communities are especially, say, our general community is at odds. All of a sudden, everyone that was together on the strange and the weird and the woo, because we had to be, because we're a small community, is warring against each other. And now anything that happens celestially is just immediately debunked, torn apart. And this is good. This is good when it's in balance, but it's being used. People are not grasping the idea that this is weaponized. And what I mean by weaponized, it's emotionally weaponized. It's visually optical. It's weaponized in our perceptions of what's going on, so that you can, again, the Trojan horse thing, you can have a bunch of stuff going on and people can say, "Oh, that's HAARP," or, which is old technology. That's HAARP, or, you know, this is Project Bluebeam, old technology again. And then completely just walk away. While, so maybe these two things were manipulated. The third thing that was really the real deal gets shuffled under because of that. These debunkers are driving me crazy personally right now. I actually have to turn away from some of them, and some of them didn't start out as debunkers, which tells me they have been switched on. They've been activated to further this idea for the masses, because this is a mass ritual, and it always has been. So I wanted to get to that. There are a lot of this stuff that's actually very, very credible, that's really happening, that's true, is being lost in the narrative of the sleight of hand, right? Of this is what's happening here, but what's happening here? And then looking at the idea of everyone's on to the sleight of hand, And so you have to actually keep your hot, stand back and keep your eye on the whole thing and not buy into any of it, and step away and observe it almost omnisciently to get an idea of what's going on and to filter through this data, because we're working against algorithms, intelligent, sentient, algorithmic beings. This is a big deal to get our heads around. It's already happened. I don't care what people are saying, but it's going to happen in this year or that year. If you understand the construct of time and how things play out, we've already hit the point. And at that point, it just started retrocausalities. And so it doesn't do anyone any good to argue those points. When you realize when it happens, it changes everything. And so how are you to know that it didn't happen? That stuff just boggles me. And then I wanna bring back this idea of sport. And with ritualistic idea, with a ritualistic eye, we look at the idea of sport and sport hunting, sport, anything. And we start looking at humans, Homo sapiens sapiens, through that lens. If you're, say, a predator entity and Homo sapiens are your food source, and you do not need, everyone's participating in this great mind fuckery, this great mind wash that's going on, that goes very, very deep into our past. And the evidence is all there. It's in cuneiform. I mean, it's all there. It's in all the stories. That this is not about money. And I can't stress that enough. Follow the money gets you so far. It gets you to the capstone of the pyramid, but the pyramid's not all, the end all be all at all. The pyramid is your 33rd degree, and then there is everything else. And the idea of looking and reading between the lines, the idea of the negative space, looking into the darkness, or if the darkness is not your negative space, looking into the light, you've got to look into the other side of where you generally look. So if you're one of those people that your eyes caught, especially in those old cards that they used on us, James, where some people see the figures with the black squiggles and the black ink spots and all this stuff. And some people see the figures through the white. And so wherever your mind goes, try to shift over and go to the other side and see what you see that way. Because this is about, it's not even about power. It's definitely not about money. Money's a construct. It is about sport. It is about enjoying the process of eating your food. It's about a bigger idea within feeding oneself. Say if you're a predator, it's about being safe so that you live to fight another day as a predator and not harm yourself, because that's the name of the game, to not harm yourself, especially when you're on the hunt. And so we need to step out of the idea that we are above that and that any of us are. We are all on the menu. And I'm speaking to those of us that are essentially human. We might be hybrids, but that are essentially human. You know what I'm saying? So this idea of sport, got to wrap our heads around that. The fiction is always where the real juice is. It took me a long time in my life to really kind of wrap my head around that. And I don't know why. Some people know immediately. I found that later, that the real truth is in fiction, because you can tell the most outrageous truths through and under the title of fiction. And what the title of fiction does is, for people encountering these narratives, is they already go into it with a suspension of disbelief. Now, this is a gateway of consciousness. This suspension of disbelief is a big deal. If you don't have that, if you don't get that into people you're trying to convey a story to, they walk away. They become bored, or they debunk, you know, they walk away. And so this plays into this whole debunking idea, and then the whole sporting thing falls away. So by telling a story, say Lord of the Rings, you know going in that this, as a normal person, going in that this is just a wonderful work of fiction, right? And then you can get totally engrossed in it, and then you can become mesmerized and then awaken within the fiction to realize, whoa, this overlay looks very familiar with some glitter or with some elf ears. You know, this all of a sudden does not look like fiction, but your suspension of disbelief has allowed you to be open-minded to now start seeing the world around you through a different lens. And then this comes back to the gender thing. The gender thing is very important here. It's almost like amphibious. When we look at, say, the seraphim in Abrahamic stuff, we see these non-female, non-gendered, non-male, high-order angelic beings. They're scary. They sing holy, holy. They have, in the symbol, in symbology, so they have the fiery three-tiered wings behind them. And they conduct the wrath of God. And so they're very scary. Now, all of the orders, the principalities, all of them have a different angle to them, and they're serving out a different purpose. And I'm using that because a lot of people understand these narratives and this narrative. But it's across the board. So this other idea of transhumanism is really about degenderizing. It's about depersonalizing. It's taking anything, in a way, it's also, you know, it's taking the ego out, but it's taking the good things that we here are. It's taking away the soul aspect, the emotion, the emotive stuff, the feeling, how we are compassionate towards others, how we connect in. It's our energetic auric field. It's this greatness that we are, and it's mashing it down into a form that is very Borg-like. And so on one hand here, alchemically, it makes a lot of sense, because there, you know, the idea of twin flames for me is, well, you are your twin flame. There are a million twin flames to have. We encounter soul. We encounter other people that are part of our experience and have been for however long you want to go back, and you know them immediately. And this can be a twin flame, but I'm taking it beyond that kind of New Age level, which I do subscribe to that as well, that particular idea. So what we're doing is we're looking at the AI aspect of this. We're looking at stripping everything down that creates an individualistic uniqueness and homogenizing it into a self-generating and creating entity type form that is really basically AI. And that's the only way I can say it plainly. It's AI in the form of sentient AI that is in the form of other. And the other is what we're talking about here. The other is what is invading us. The other is what's eating us. And if we can get our idea, if we can pull up to all of this weaving together to get a bigger narrative here, I'm not coming here trying to scare people saying we're being eaten. We should realize that. We've always been eaten. back before we had tools, the lions ate us, guaranteed. If you go out into the bush and you don't have tools and you don't know what you're doing, you're going to get eaten right now. This should not be shocking to people. And nature is always my guidestone, my post here, because nothing that sounds, let me put it this way, everything that sounds fantastic in the world in which we inhabit can be found in nature. The praying mantis, she mates, she eats the head of her lover. This is real. This happens. People can watch it. You know, so there's no reason to take and make that something it's not. Why wouldn't there be sentient mantid beings? I mean, this seems so logical to me that it's hard to get down sometimes and explain these concepts. So I'm just throwing these pieces together that you threw out at me and weaving them into the greater story here, James. And that's what is going on in my psychic eye. This is a revealing. This is an open rule now. And the fact that trafficking's happening, it's always happened. They don't need to kidnap and traffic people that are on the grid. That is sport. That's sport. They breed us already. We're being bred and eaten off the grid with people in cages right now, being bred and eaten and abused and all that. And it's been going on a very, very long time. They don't need to kidnap to do that. That's for sport. That is for sport. And that's also the, you know, in a way that's like the domestication of the breeding programs that are going on and have been going on a very long time. This is the normal for those poor souls down there. This is the normal. So some people like their meat gamey. So some people like venison and they like that adrenaline, as we've talked about, adrenochrome energy, and they get more from that. So there's a sport in coming to the surface and really tracking down and eating your prey in that way to get it all hormonalized. And you know, I'm sure we can go into all gross details, but they don't need it. This isn't about money. This is about sport. And that's, I think, something that people lose sight of.
Absolutely. There's some movies that come to mind of reality coming in the guise of fiction. One of the great, what's been described as one of the great original science fiction / fantasy books, turned out not to be so science fiction, was The Coming Race by Edward Bulwer Lytton, which I read a long time ago. He was a parliamentarian, if memory serves, in the British government, and he wrote this story about a couple of individuals, one of whom was a miner. If you're familiar with the story, I'm just going to, you know, kind of rehash it for our listeners. Long story short, they go spelunking, they go cave exploring. And one of the poor guys winds up being the first non-human creature described in this book, which was written, I think, in the 19th century. The first creature described in the subterranean tunnel complex was a reptilian that carried away one of the guys, presumably for purposes of consumption. And the other person that was left alive, he had to find his way out of this tunnel system where he came into contact with this civilization that called itself the Vril, and how their agenda was to one day come up to the surface and take it over, right? And then we have other stories like Logan's Run and Soylent Green and Childhood's End by Arthur C. Clarke, who was a pedophile and a CIA asset. And I was watching this TV show about Arthur C. Clarke's career, and the animations they used to show Childhood's End in visual form, the aliens were depicted as Dracos, right? Winged reptilian yes. beings.
Yeah, in red.
In red. And this also is reminiscent of that great classic film back in the day, Gargoyles. And yes, the theme of that was that one day they're going to come out from beneath the bowels of the earth and come up and take over what they rightly, well, not rightly, but what they regard as theirs.
That right? film scared me, James, oh, when it was out, Gargoyles.
It scared me too, big time. I've got it on VHS here somewhere. Now, the point being, and you really pointed it out, is the fact that there is this aspect of predation at work. And we know that thoughts are things. We know that oftentimes, it's at least in the old days, nowadays, manifestation of one sort or another is almost instantaneous because the fundamental concepts are changing so rapidly. But in the old days, things tended to happen in the spirit world before they manifested in the physical world. And what we're seeing also with people like ourselves, and I can only speak from my personal perspective, but I've spoken to a number of people in the recent past, because I'd say in the last month I've had about 5 or 6 episodes where at night I had to thwart an astral abduction where it was so blatant at times, Nishka, they wouldn't even wait till I drifted off into another world between sleep and waking consciousness. I was still wide awake, and they were trying to pull my consciousness out of my head in an astral abduction. And I've been battling for some time with lack of a better term, insomnia. And I've been taking valerian caps and drinking sleepy time tea to kind of help me sleep at night. And a few nights ago, as a matter of fact, it could have been the same night or the night before you had that episode with the digital interference. I was suffering through horrific, horrific insomnia. And finally, in the wee hours of the morning, I finally started drifting asleep, and then whammo, dream hacking, astral abduction, right? So it was almost as if I didn't know any better. It was like, okay, Bartley's finally starting to drift off, right? Poor insomniac sufferer. Now let's nab him, right? So it was like gradually, incrementally, just wearing us down, chipping away at us. And some of the dream hacking that I've noticed in the recent past too is it's a lot more blatant. Before, it was a little more subtle. They would kind of guide you into a stage-managed dream, and then whammo, they present the symbolic or, in many cases, literal manipulation psyop on you. What's been happening to me in the recent past is I'd feel my dreams being hacked and diverted this way or that, and immediately the dreams go from being innocuous, you know, non-threatening. Suddenly I'm confronted with beings I perceive as predatory. I'm seeing my dreams pulled in an erotic direction. I'm seeing my dreams pulled into a perverse direction, like almost immediately. It's like they're not even mucking around with like all these gradual stages anymore, Nish. It's like, okay, you know, we got him. He's just about to drift off finally. And then whammo, they're going for it. And then the point of relevance here is, you know, things manifesting in the spirit before they manifest in the physical. Increasingly, we're seeing what I've just described in an astral dreamscape hacking sense playing out in the physical realms with this lunacy manifested by apparently what seems to be both sides, so-called, of this political divide. We're having the so-called white hats going nuts in their own way, or at least a subpopulation of them, which can be used to discredit the entire constitutionalist, libertarian, leave us alone movement. And on the other hand, we have these deranged, entity infested leftists that have been just turned loose. So we're seeing what's going on in the psyches, what's going on in the astral dreamscape, in these stage managed dreams. And I mentioned earlier how some people are describing how their dreams are increasingly turning violent and sadistic in many ways. We're seeing that playing out in the physical plane in real time. It's very interesting. And you know, a point I want to make, and I'd like to, you know, your thoughts on this before I finish, is you've pointed out how there's this theater and this sport aspect to this. That is what's missing in the analysis of all these people who I think are really brainwashed, Nishka. Because like I said, in traditional society and in the olden days, it was a given that there was these non-human beings, call them gods, call them what one will, that at times played this malign role or influence on the fortunes of humanity, individually and collectively. It was a given. It was, to this day, something that's taken for granted in traditional societies. But what we're seeing is these people who present themselves as truthers have become essentially a force multiplier. They've essentially become a controlled opposition to anything celestial, anything in the skies. And we've been told it's in the Book of Revelations, it's in other traditions, you know, signs and wonders. That's going to be one of the things to look out for. But what they do with the spin and the mind control they're under, oh, that's all blue beam, Nishka. That's all just some kind of dog and pony act that's just supposed to manipulate these UFO believers that are thinking the aliens are coming. And what I say is, look, if there's a fake alien invasion, it's because the reptilians want there to be a fake alien invasion. It's got nothing to do with what these humans want. It's never been the case of what these humans want, because these hybrid, reptilian hybrid so-called elite, they're merely the plantation managers of this planet. And they manifest all these reptilian traits that we've talked about, which are unfathomable to normal humans, but has a lizard logic, as I call it, that this is what they do. This is what their culture and their spirit is all about. So just, you know, on that note, Nishka, it's like, what are your thoughts on, you know, what's it going to take for some people are hopelessly brainwashed, I understand that, but what's it going to take for some that still may be a little open-minded enough to recognize, hey, there's a predatory predation aspect of this, and humans are not at the top of the food chain? Because I think that is one of the bottom line where rubber meets the road issues. When people can recognize what the true nature of the problem is, I think then subconsciously even they begin to make inroads into resolving this dilemma.
Yeah, this is the conundrum we find ourselves in. I don't know what it's going to take. And this is one of the things why I've been saying, now that we're this deep into it, now that the game is this far advanced, at this point, I think it's cover yourself. This is where I am. It like you let the door has been open. I've had the door open. The sanctuary door has been open. Come in, come in, come in. Now I've got it barred and no one's coming in. No one's coming in because anyone is the ability to possess anyone. I mean, anyone is already here. And this is one of the reasons why I keep saying now, really pay attention to the cognition of those around you. And if you look at the narratives that have been thrown out to us, the seeded ideas, it's always the one closest in. It's always those closest to you that get you. So, and one of my big messages in the world too is to not have paranoia. And at some level, this is where we need to normalize that which scares us. We've got to look at it. And in training, in martial arts training and stuff like that, in military training, this is why they have exercises to get you accustomed to these ideas so that you don't knee jerk, and also so that you accept what's coming at you in a way that allows you to be safe. So in, like, say, the zombie narrative, your mother has turned. And if you're having trouble not believing it when she's coming at you, and I'm talking in just the Hollywoodized version of this. She's coming at you, you know, frothy mouthed. Her eyes are grayed over, you know, clearly Hollywoodized. And you're still going, mom, mom, mom. And then she bites you. You've lost. You've lost because you can't cognitively wrap your head around the fact that your mother was turned and is now eating you, and now you're turned, and then this cycle perpetuates. Now we see this in subtle ways psychologically, where you train your children, Right. You train your children, and your children a lot of times just regurgitate what they've been told by you, or the government trains your children, and they in turn train their children. And we start looking at how entrainment, how Pavlovian this has all been. And so with the idea of invasion and being taken over and possession, it is important to stay. Right now, it's important to stay very centered and grounded. So it's a time to find yourself in silence and pondering. This is a very important time, however you meditate. And I always put forth no dogma towards this stuff. However you find stillness, wherever you can find stillness, it's just sitting and having your tea or coffee and looking out a window, or sitting on a porch for people that smoke and smoking and looking up at the sky. If this is your stillness, then good. Go into it and push into it and get rid of the daily chatter and let it open and deepen. And this is how you're going to start connecting into the environment around you. The biological aspect of this is important, how it's affecting us on those levels. I used to always listen to a lot of those in our community that have turned against these narratives that are running, rogue. I'm not sure how else to put it, that have now just become like almost straight up enemies, if you will, where they want you to buy into the fact that it's all fake somehow. It's all this or that. There are no generalizations that work when it's everything. And so look for the little things. This is where details actually do matter. This is where, when you step back and give an omniscient observation to the environment, and then you come in back into your space, back into your vessel, into your temple. And that's when you start paying attention to the details. And the details indeed are revealing who's who and what's what. And that's like the message of hope here. But remember, because this has now gotten down to our dreams and into our inner personal lives, to the inside, because of this hacking that's going on, because of the connection with the waves. And we'll talk about this later at some other time, but there is another aspect to the netting of the planet and the netting, this electrical netting that's going on that we haven't observed right now. And we're going to talk about this later. So I just have to shelf that right now. That is a possibility that there is a reason that that's being done to maybe save some of us. And I know Cliff High has talked about that. So with this, and on a way to leave this, that's where I wanted to go with leaving this. Do the internal work as my wolves start going. Do the internal work. It is time to get in touch with your own voice. It is time to get in touch with your intuition. It's time to understand what is you and what is not you, and how you're being manipulated. Are you hungry right now? Why are you hungry? Are you actually really hungry? Are you actually really hungry for that chocolate bar? Or is that the mycoplasma? Or is that the candida in you that wants it and is creating the circumstances for you to go get that? That's what I'm saying. And so fitting that my wolves are going, James.
I love them. I love wolves. I love animals in general. But yeah, I agree with you 100%, Nish. If people haven't figured it out by now, it's too late for them. Thank you for voicing those sentiments. I think that, and I've said this before, it's important that we draw back and go into our own sanctuary bubble, sanctuary environment, and do exactly what you recommended. And one thing that I've been looking into in the recent past is the importance of game simulation, where what we do, and we look at ourselves from the standpoint of multidimensional beings. Some of us have been utilized in a lot of these, you know, MyLab type operations, even alternate, what seem to be alternate reality experiences. And so when we look at ourselves for the totality of our multidimensional being and start doing simulations of game role playing, if you will, if this, then this, what can we do to alter this outcome, yes, to change things in ways beneficial to us? And I'm not a Pollyanna, and I don't mean to sound callous and heartless, but from a viable, pragmatic standpoint, it's kind of a stretch for me to think that everyone is going to be saved. Everyone's going to come out of this unscathed at the other end, because quite frankly, I don't mean this in an elitist sense, but a lot of people just didn't do the inner work. A lot of people have become matrix sentinels and in their own way, consciously, yes, or subconsciously, are advancing this agenda of predation. Ultimately, that's what it's going to be. What it's about is this mass offering, this mass collective offering of the human race and this huge, gigantic ritual. So that doesn't have to be our fate, but I don't think it's going to be a mass jailbreak for everybody, Nishka. But for those that are so inclined, that have the means and the will to do so, yes, we can do it for ourselves. We can do it for our loved ones that you know, can understand the nature of this multi-threat environment that we're part of. Anyhow, we've reached the end of a fascinating segment. Thank you so much. It's like talking to a soul sister. I just love talking to you, Nish, and we'll catch up again soon, and definitely want to have you back on my show again in the future.
Thank you, James. Yeah, I feel the same about you. We're kin. And it's been a great pleasure. I hope that everyone on this end enjoys what we've been doing, and it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. And to our dear listeners out there, whatever you may be doing, wherever you may be, have a very pleasant time, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now. Because this is a frequency war.